So I want to talk to young people this morning about how to honor your parents. Isn't it interesting where the Bible gives us a command to obey, but also to honor your father and your mother? I want to talk to you a little bit about how to do that. And by the way, this isn't just a sermon for teenagers. I think if you still have your mom and dad here on earth, you're blessed. You are blessed. And there is a way that you can honor them. Listen, but there's also a way that you can live that dishonors your parents. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that and give the young people a pep talk. You know, I wish, and how many of you, both your mom and dad are in heaven, both your mom and your dad's in heaven. So all these people all the way around here, you see hands everywhere. Don't think that they wouldn't give almost anything to be able to sit down for a day with mom and dad. But you've got that opportunity. And so let's talk about that a little bit this morning. Look in chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. We'll read the first three verses. We're going to focus on verse number 2, but we'll read verse 1, 2, and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be here this morning, to have the health to be here, strength to be here. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for mom and dad. Some of us will talk about and think about our parents during the message. We will be remembering them and thinking about them. Others still have mom and dad here. I just pray, Lord, that this precious, precious relationship would be reminded, dear God, of the importance of it. And so I pray that you would bless the message in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I'm glad our teenagers are in here because, folks, I think if you're not careful, during your teenage years is where you start dropping the ball when it comes to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And I want to just talk, can I just talk kind of honest with you? You know, when you were a child and, you know, you were in your elementary years, you know, I mean, dad was Superman and mom was Superwoman, and you know, they were there to take care of you, and your life was pretty much revolved around them. And you get up to a certain age where you get a little more independent. By the way, that's kind of the goal. Okay? I mean, that's purposefully done by your parents, where more and more they're giving you opportunities to make choices, obviously under their supervision, but make choices and be trusted with, because they're preparing you for real life. But let me tell you something else that happens when you hit about junior high. I say this. Teenagers begin to develop what I call hypocrisy radar. Because once you get to that age, all of a sudden, you know, dad who could do no wrong and mom who could do no wrong and all my Sunday school teachers. But you get to the age where you start looking at people a little differently and you mature mentally to the point where your observation skills kick in a little more. And if you're not careful, you can start focusing on the fact. By the way, acknowledge it's fine. Acknowledge the fact that nobody's perfect and that everybody has flaws. But if you're not careful, you can so focus on that you develop hypocrisy radar. You're just looking for inconsistencies in people. And by the way, folks, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall. And if you come into any situation just looking for what's wrong, you'll find it. You know why? Because nobody's perfect. There's no perfect people. There's no perfect relationship. There's no perfect church. There's just not. But, you know, if you're not careful as a teenager, you know, you begin to notice that, you know, mom and dad aren't perfect. And sometimes there's some inconsistency. You'll come to church and you'll realize that, you know what, the best of Christians are human. But if you're not careful, the devil will sit on your shoulder and pretty soon that's all you're looking for. And one of the things I see in teenagers is when they develop hypocrisy radar, they point it at everybody but themselves. And let me remind you, you're not perfect either. And so if we're gonna look for inconsistencies, we'd probably be wiser focusing on that on ourselves, because we can do something about that, than it is just to constantly be looking for something that you can be critical about, or somebody falls short in an area of your life. And if you're not careful, your respect and the proper relationship you ought to have with your parents is affected by this. Hey, let me just say it out loud so we can all get it out in the open. Nobody's got a perfect mom. Nobody's got a perfect dad. Nobody's got perfect grandparents. Nobody's got a perfect Sunday school teacher. Nobody's got a perfect pastor. You know what? But listen to me. Just because they're not perfect does not mean they're not sincere. And the fact that they are real. And I think people use the word hypocrite way too easily. Well, you know, they say they believe this, but I saw them do that, so they're a hypocrite. No, we're human beings trying to do the right things, but sometimes failing. And that's not hypocrisy. Okay, so be very careful, because again, next thing you know, the devil begin to build a case in your mind constantly against good people. But again, if you're going to turn on that switch and turn on hypocrisy radar, you might point it inside first, because that's where the Lord can really help you, where you say, search me, oh God, know my heart. No, I don't find a verse that says, search everybody else and see if I can figure out their heart. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. I say this often. I'm so busy trying to keep Jerry Ross straight that I don't have a whole lot of time trying to work on everybody else around me. Now, we'll get up here and we'll preach the truth, but folks, listen to me. What you do with the truth or what you don't do is really between you and the Lord. And so I think the people that want to do right are going to try to do right. And many, many people in this church, you say, preacher, there's a young man that came to me today, and I won't embarrass him, but I appreciate him. And he was very honest with me this morning. He said, preacher, I come in here today, and I feel like my soul's empty, and I feel like my spirit's not right. And I mean, it's a teenager talking to me like this. And I said, you've come to the right place. I said, you know, I look at the church like if you run your car and you don't stop and fill up with fuel every once in a while, you're going to be broke down on the side of the road. I said, you come to the right place. He said, well, I've always looked at church as a hospital where you come and get fixed. I said, son, I thought maybe I'd let that kid preach this morning. I don't know, you know. But he was wise enough to realize that he needed something. And so I want to talk to you, I guess, really honestly about your parents and the Bible command here. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord because they're perfect. Doesn't say that. Because there's no inconsistencies in their life. Because they don't sometimes fail. They're trying, but they just fail. No, God just says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. There's some things that's just the right thing to do. Okay? And so that's all the reason that God gives here when it comes to obedience. Okay? And so listen to me. If you're not careful, again, well, I shouldn't have to obey them because they don't always do the right thing. What are you talking about? Your obedience isn't based on their perfection. Your obedience is based on a command in the Word of God. And so, all right, you're going to have imperfect parents. It's still right to obey them. You're going to have parents sometimes that fall short. It's still right to obey them. Are you listening to me? And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be so blessed if you do. Okay? And so I want you to kind of, we're going to work on some things this morning. And young people, I was a teenager at one time. I know you have a hard time believing that, but I really was. And I went through the same thing, and you struggle at times, and sometimes you do see the inconsistencies and the imperfections, but listen to me, your mom loves you, and your dad loves you, and they're trying to point you in the right direction, and they want what's best for you. And so when they tell you to do something, whether you understand it or not, whether it makes sense or not, listen to me, even whether or not they sometimes fail in the same area, you still obey them because it is right. And then God goes on in this portion of scripture and talks about something else. There's obedience, but then there's this matter of honoring. Honor thy father and mother, And then there's a little parenthesis here. This is so important to God that if you go back to the Old Testament law and the Ten Commandments, and God began by giving the Ten Commandments, and then he gave a lot more of the law after that. But this is the first commandment that was given that God said, now, I'm going to give you a promise that's connected to this command. Now, he didn't do that with all of the commands. And a lot of the commands are just do it. Why? Because I said so. And by the way, have you ever had your mom and dad say that? Do this. Why? Because I said so. You know what? That ought to be a good enough reason. You know why? Because it is right. But when it comes to honoring your father and mother, God said, now this is so important that I'm gonna give you a promise that's connected with this command. God doesn't have to do that, but he's doing that. And he says, I'm going to reward you in a very special way and meaningful way. I mean, this is like a lifelong type thing. That if you'll honor your father and mother, look at verse number 3, this is the promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so this matter of honoring is a very important thing. And it ought to be something that's very important to you, not just as a teenager, but you young adults, you should still want to honor your father and your mother. And I understand this matter of obedience. I understand once you form your own home, there's a different dynamic in that relationship. But I don't think you ever outgrow honoring your father and your mother. So I want to give you some pointers that I hope will be a help to you. And what we're going to do is talk to the young people and all of us that still, if you still have parents, and encourage you in this area. And then tonight, if you'll come back, we're going to spend the day focused on parenting. We're going to give you some real practical things as parents that will help you in raising children. Yes, you can still raise good, godly kids, even in this crazy culture that we live in today. We'll give you some very practical things tonight, all right? Very good. So let me give you 3 things here, all right? Because I'm a Baptist preacher and we have 3 points in every sermon, it seems like. Honor your parents. How do I honor my parents? You honor your parents with a listening ear and an obedient heart. With a listening ear and an obedient heart. It's amazing how much of the book of Proverbs talks about the importance of just hearing when it comes to the relationship with your parents. Because most of their teaching, there's teaching and then there's training. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight. But a lot of what your parents are trying to give you comes through verbal instruction. Teaching is verbal. Training is on hands-on. And by the way, parents, we're supposed to do both. But young people, if you get to the point where you turn your ears off and you stop listening to mom, you stop listening to dad, God has some very pointed things to say about that. God gave you your parents to instruct you. Proverbs 1:8, I'm going to read a lot of these verses because we got a lot this morning. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, parents, let me help you with this. Train your children to listen, okay? And one of the things that we found out with our girls right away, if they're not looking at you, they're not listening to you. And you're trying to tell them something and they're working on something else, or they're playing a game or, you know, they're distracted in some other way. One of the things that I realized right away, that first of all, I've got to get them to look at me in order for them to listen to me. So sometimes I'll say, stop what you're doing. And they'll say, well, I'm listening. And guess what? They're really not. Because go ahead and tell them and then say, now repeat that back to me. And they won't be able to do it because they're focused on something else. But it's important, young people, that when your mom and dad, you guys sit up straight, look up here, okay? When your mom and dad, I'm giving you guys some good instruction. When your mom and dad are talking to you, by the way, you ought to be doing that with the preacher right now too. If you're not looking at me, you're not listening, okay? And your mom and dad talk to you, you stop what you're doing and you look at them and you listen, because that's a mark of maturity. And so make sure that you listen. Hear, my son, the instruction of thy father. Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. You're not going to grow in understanding. You're not going to grow in knowledge. You're not going to grow in wisdom if you stop listening. Now, let me just say to the young adults in here, don't get to the point where you get this haughty, you know, just because you're married now and you got your own family, I don't have to listen to anybody older than me. We know everything. You're setting yourself up for a hard life. Because you know what? The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2, as a young man and as a young woman, they're talking about adult young men and adult young married people. They said, listen, you better listen to the aged women. They'll help you. You better listen to the aged men. They'll help you. And by the way, it shouldn't be a matter of an older generation always having to try to come over and get your attention. You ought to be seeking wisdom. Listen to mom and dad. Sit down with mom and dad. Ask mom and dad questions, okay? They've lived through what you're trying right now to live. And so think about that. Think about the joy and rejoicing that comes, that you bring to the heart of your parents when a child decides to listen and obey and walk in wisdom. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness to his mother. Proverbs 29:3, whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Proverbs 28:7, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. How do you honor your father? You listen to him. How do you honor your father? You have an obedient heart. You glean the wisdom that they're trying to give you. You gain understanding by what they're trying to share with you. You make good decisions because you're willing to seek counsel up. What I'm talking about is honoring. How do I honor my mom and dad? I sat down and I asked them for advice. I asked their opinion. I think one of the greatest sources of godly counsel is being ignored by a younger generation that somehow got it in your heads that you're the smartest generation that's ever come along. And yet us older folks are watching this really smart generation with all of your devices and information. I'm just saying, as a whole, making a lot of dumb decisions. And so I don't know where you're going, Siri, who you're asking, Google. I don't know where you're going to for wisdom and knowledge, but if you're blessed to have godly older people in your family and in your life, listen to them. Think about that, the rejoicing. Come on, you want to make a glad dad and a merry mom? Then you know what? Listen to them. Seek their counsel. That will make their heart glad. What sadness and sorrow, book of Proverbs talks about sadness and sorrow that comes to parents who begat a fool. He that begatteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. A foolish son is a grief to his father, Proverbs 17:25, and bitterness to her that bare him. Listen, you go off and just make a bunch of foolish decisions. You know, you're breaking the heart of your mom and dad. It ought to matter. It ought to matter. There's a lot of reasons to do the right thing, but good night. You got a mom and dad that's loved you and prayed for you and are trying to point you in the right direction and help you to do the right thing, and you just turn them off and go out and just take their good name and trash it. Take all the wisdom and throw it away like it doesn't matter, and doesn't mean anything. And aren't these sad verses? He that begatteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Proverbs 19:13, the foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. Proverbs 19:26, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Let me just ask you, are you wasting your dad? Are you wasting him? You wasting all that he's trying to teach you, all that he's trying to give you? Well, I'm not, it's just pep talk time. A lot of verses, but I'm telling you, you ever get into your 20s and 30s and you ever heard somebody say, the older I got, the smarter my mom and dad became? Now, the truth is they were smart all the time. You just weren't listening. And so listen to them. It sounds very simple, but how did I honor my mom and dad in the latter years of their life? You know what I did? Before I made any major decision in my life, well, I'm my own man and I've got my own family. Okay, I got it. And you're going to make the final decision. And by the way, you're going to answer to God for the final decision. But if you really love that wife and love that family you have, I think you'd want to make good decisions. And so, you know what? I never made a major decision in my life without going and sitting down in the living room with my aged parents and say, Dad, Mom, let me pick your brain a little bit. Let me talk to you a little bit about that. And you know what? What a blessing and a resource. Come on, all of us that raised our hand a second ago, wouldn't we like to have that opportunity again? And so think about that. If you want to honor your parents, you do it with a listening ear and an obedient heart. And just, you know what? Tap into the generational wisdom that they offer you. Because I often say a wise dad and a wise mom are not just sharing the wisdom of their life, but they are sharing the wisdom they learned from their parents and their grandparents. So you're not just getting a generation of wisdom, you're getting generational wisdom when you listen to somebody who has listened to somebody. And by the way, all you smart young people, you're going to be that older. Your kids are going to grow up one of these days, and maybe they'll treat you the same way you're treating grandma and grandpa right now. So think about that. How do I honor my parents? Just give them a listening ear and an obedient heart. Number two, honor your parents with a loyal heart. Look at Proverbs 23. We're going to go into Proverbs now. I think this is one of the most important verses that we will talk about today. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 26. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 26. I love that the entire book of Proverbs was written by a father to his son. I just published a book called Even as Sarah, and I published that book and wrote that book to 10 young ladies. And the subtitle is A Grandfather's Real World Advice to His 10 Christian granddaughters. Now, I'm going to let the rest of you read it if you want to, but I wrote it for 10 girls. I wrote that entire book for 10 of my granddaughters. Think of what Solomon did. He wrote this entire book for one son. Well, think about that. Now, notice what he says in verse number 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. A loyal heart honors the parents, his parents. Honor your parents with a loyal heart. Now, the Bible says here, this is what Solomon is asking of his son. He says, very, very interesting. Give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. Well, one of the most important things you young people can do is give your heart to your parents. I want to ask you an honest question. Listen, we're not asking you to answer out loud, but you need to answer this inside of you. Does your dad and your mom have your heart? And by the way, they can't take it. They can't force you. But do they have your heart? Do they have your heart? The only way they're going to have it is for you to what? You have to give it to them. You have to give it to them. You know, Brother Nichols was with us last week, and you know, he talked about these key crossroad moments in his children's life, including Brother Nichols that's here with us. And if he had not decided to give his dad his heart, he could have made a huge mistake that would have taken his life in a whole different direction. And so be willing to give your heart to your parents. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, I want to say something because I think it's true. I think it's almost always true. Anytime I see a young person growing up that's struggling spiritually with their relationship with God, usually they're also struggling with their relationship with their parents. It almost always goes hand in hand. Okay. And so what you have to do is you have to be willing to, if you're going to start taking your heart back from your parents, I've never seen it happen where they don't start taking their heart back from God at the same time. And so listen, give your parent, give your father, give your mother your heart and observe their ways. Learn from them. I mean, listen, I learned more from my dad by watching him than I did listening to him. You know, my dad was a preacher, so I had an opportunity to hear him talk a lot. But in our personal relationship, he was very selective about what he said and about how much time he took to give instruction. His generation was more of a quiet generation that showed you how to live than they did told you how to live. And a lot of the things that you need to learn, young people, you can learn by just observing their ways. I got thinking here a while back, and I thought, the things that I learned in life just by watching my dad, just by observing him, that I'm not sure he ever even verbalized. I saw my dad, by the way, what's the best thing I ever saw my dad do? I was there the Friday night of the revival meeting when I saw my dad get saved. I'm glad I've got that memory. You know what? Every child ought to have the opportunity, if they've got a mom and dad that's not saved, ought to have an opportunity to see their mom and dad get saved. This whole idea of church is important and God's important and salvation is important, but it's not important to us as parents, that's not going to stick. And so I saw my dad get saved. When it came time for me to get married, I read some books. And, you know, I think you ought to, and I'll do premarital counseling, and I'll give the couples some books to read. But the honest truth is, most of what I learned about having a good marriage, I just learned by watching my mom and dad. I observed their ways. I observed how they interacted with each other. I observed the way my mom treated my dad with reverence and respect and submitted to his leadership. And I watched my dad, you know what, treat my mom with carefulness and tenderness and love and protected her, watched over her. I'm sorry, but I didn't have to go take a 12-week course on marriage before I got married because I had a 20-year course on marriage by just being in a home where mom and dad were decent human beings and loved each other and committed to each. Listen, when they made holy vows, they meant it. Didn't mean they didn't struggle at times. Didn't mean they didn't always see eye to eye. Didn't mean they didn't always agree. But you know what? In front of us, I mean, people don't believe this, but it's true. I never saw my mom and dad have an argument. Never. Never. Now, maybe after we went to bed, they went in the backyard with knives and just had it out. I have no idea. But I'm just saying, people won't believe that. I'm telling you, I never saw it. I never saw it. And so, you know what? Man alive, I just do not think that arguing all the time is a part of marriage. You know why? Because it wasn't in our home. By the way, parents, this is good for us because you're teaching your kids how to have a marriage right now. Ladies, you're teaching your daughters what kind of a wife you're supposed to be. You're teaching your daughters whether or not dad's the head of the home or you're the head of the home. And they're going to think the same thing later on. I've watched my dad just love mom, protect mom, take care of mom. I mean, let me tell you something. The worst thing I could ever hear my mom say is, okay, we'll just wait till your dad gets home. I mean, that was like, I just looked at the clock and started counting down the minutes I had before I was going to die, okay? Because it was over. And you know what? It wouldn't matter if I tried to tell my side of it. He never believed me anyway. He always took mom's side. Are you listening? You know, I remember when we had three daughters and sometimes they'd want to, you know, girls. I know this doesn't happen with our teen girls, but sometimes there'd be drama. And sometimes they'd try to create a little drama in the house. And sometimes I'd set them down every once in a while. And I'd remind them, there's one queen in this house. I love all three of you, but I know how this story's going to end. You can sit there and sing that little Patch the Pirate song. And I want to marry daddy when I grow up. They'll sing that when they're four. They won't know the words of it when they're 14, okay? They will have totally forgot about all of that. I said, y'all are temporary. She's permanent. Okay? I don't care if all of you are miserable. She's happy. All right? Amen. Amen. You know, you take care of the wife. You take care of the wife. Dad protected by my mother. I saw my dad. I want to talk about him just observing their ways. I saw my dad go to work. I saw my dad work hard and provide for his family. And yeah, he taught us to work hard and he told us we ought to be hard workers, but I really learned it just by working alongside him. I mean, maybe it happened. I'm not saying it never did. It probably did. But I have no memory of my dad laying home sick, not going to work. He just came from the generation of, you know, you don't call in, you crawl in, you just, he probably was at one point. I have no memory of it. Okay. You know, I do have memories of dad, you know, working the swing shift and listen, dad just believed the Bible. But if you provide not for your own, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and worse than an infidel. Dad was raised to work hard by his dad, and you know what? He was going to see to it that we were raised to work hard. He just believed the Bible. How about 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. He said, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Why don't we believe that anymore? Okay, think about that. He just taught me to go to work. You just go to work. You just work hard. Listen, young ladies, young men, if you got a dad that works hard, you know how blessed you are? That he just goes to work every week. Why do you think he's doing that? Because it's so much fun? He's doing it because he loves you. He's doing it because he's providing for you. There's a lot of other things he'd rather be doing, but he loves your mom and he loves you children, and he's going to put food on the table and a roof over your head and provide for you, and that's not a little deal. And sometimes I'll have even grown adults say, well, my dad didn't spend much time. He didn't spend much time. And I'm not trying to let dads off the hook, but have you ever thought that maybe it's because he was going to work and providing for you? Okay, so even when he wasn't there, he was still doing something for you. So be thankful. How do you honor your parents? You acknowledge these things. Come on, turn off the hypocrisy radar. Stop looking for the negatives and stop looking for the imperfections and not stop looking for things to complain about. You know what? You can turn on a different type of radar. You can start looking for all the good that they're doing and all how much they loved you and how much they cared for you and all that they sacrificed for you and all that they're trying to teach you, because there's good in them. There's good in them. Dad believed the Bible. He believed it was a man's responsibility to provide for his family. Listen, there wasn't a lazy bone in my dad's body. After he had the stroke, he sat in the office and wept one day and said, Jerry, I can only do about a half day. I said, well, then dad, do a half day. But it bothered him. It bothered him. And I said, dad, if you look at the rest of your life, most of the time you were doing 2 days or a day and a half of work when most men weren't. I think you have built up some reserve. I think you're going to be okay. Okay? Think about that. He started working full-time on a neighbor's farm when he was 11 years old, full-time. By 18, he had taken on the financial responsibilities of a wife and began to have children. He didn't believe in government handouts. He believed in hard work and paying bills and providing for his family and being a positive contributor to society. We need a revival in all of this. I guess I'm just saying, honor your mom and dad, honor them. Honor them, that it may be well with thee. Don't say criticize, don't say talk them down. Honor them, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. I saw my father faithfully serve the Lord. Most of you know his life verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. By the way, anybody that knew my dad said knows that verse fit him. From the day he and mom were saved at Rock Run Baptist Church, they began to volunteer to for everything and anything at the church. They were always, I grew in a home where we were always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're just busy serving God. I believe one of the reasons God let my dad pastor a church of servants. And that's what Sister Jody said to me this morning. Brother Todd was talking back there and he said, they're just like, you know, we watched it this weekend, just a church serve. And I think, why are we blessed to have a church of servants? Maybe because the pastor that started the church was a servant. God just let him reap what he sowed, you know. When God called Dad to preach, he didn't pull a Jonah and run from God's calling. He surrendered even though he felt inadequate. And by the way, if I wanted to, I could stand up here. Come on. Let's all show up on Dr. Phil. Let's blame all of our problems on the imperfections of our father and our mother. I'm so sick and tired of that. I am so sick and tired. Some of you got a critical spirit towards your father and your mother because you'll only look for the negative, and that's all that's ever talked about. And the honest truth is you're not learning from him or her what you could if you'd lose that spirit. If you'd lose that spirit. I just watched, I just decided, you know what? I didn't expect my dad to be perfect, but he was still my dad. There's some things that I could learn from him. I saw my father finish his race. Okay? I was there and held his hand when he took his last breath. You know what? All the way to the very end, just within about 6 weeks of him passing away, he was still standing behind this pulpit in Sunday school, teaching the adult class. And most of you know the story. He was diagnosed with a tumor, that inoperable tumor. And 6 weeks later, we were doing his funeral. But all the way to the end, as much as he possibly could, he walked in the door of the church. He did what he could. And you know what? He was able to say this: I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I kept the faith. What I'm saying is, listen, you, if you want to, turn on the hypocrisy radar. I get it. You know, and there's people that's outside of the church living wicked lives, and they still are blaming their parents, and all they can see is the imperfections, and they threw away all of the wisdom and understanding and everything that they tried to give them. Number three, and I'm finished, honor your parents by continuing a godly heritage. Think about this. These verses, Psalm 16:6, the lines are fallen into me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Psalm 61:5, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Psalm 119:111, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. This book I'm taking as a heritage forever. Psalms 127:3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. How do you honor your parents? Well, I'm going to talk to those of you that had Christian parents, godly parents, and they are trying to hand to you a godly heritage. You know what? Continue that godly heritage. I'm just going to tell you, I think one of the most wicked things that I'm seeing in the world today is young people being raised in Christian homes and then turning 18, 19, or 20, and next thing you know, they are living wicked, worldly lives. And you are trampling under foot your godly heritage. Wow. I mean, there's people that have done it that not only have had Christian moms and dad, but had Christian grandparents on both sides, all four of the grandparents, Christian, great-grandparents, Christian, and all of a sudden they just decide that they're going to just spit on everything that they've been handed. There's people, folks, you young people are being raised in church and raised with Christian parents. There's adults all over this room that wish they'd have had what you have right now. I've literally had people come to me and say, if I could just have been raised in a church like this, if I could just have been raised with parents like I see around this church. Now listen, you're going to take that and throw it away? To me, I don't know of a more wicked, wicked thing that you could do. Bible says in 3 John chapter 1, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So the no greater joy comes from having a child that accepts the truth. Come on, listening ears, obedient heart, observes your ways, okay, gives you their heart, continues a godly heritage. There is no greater joy. I'm looking back there on the back row, and I've got a daughter that's sitting by her mom, who's sitting by her mom, amen. And she's serving God, and that's the greatest joy. But if that's the greatest joy, young people, you better listen to this. There's always a other side of the coin. So if the source of greatest joy is to hear that your children walk in truth, then we have to summarize that the source of the greatest sorrow. You know, I don't talk about this much. But I was up in Michigan, and I get the question. So how many children did you have? And are they living near to you? And how many grandkids do you have? And by the way, I am always transparent. I'll say I have two daughters that married preachers, and they're serving God, and they're raising their kids to serve God. And I've got a daughter that's a prodigal. And by the way, when I'm willing to share that, it's amazing how many people that's sitting at the table will say, wow, we've got a son that's was raised in church, and he's not in church. And you find out, folks, it's not all that uncommon. And they'll say, always, thank God for God's people. They don't ask a lot of questions, but they always ask one. Well, what's her name? So I can pray. And I can tell you this, all over this country, people speak my oldest daughter's name in prayer, hoping that she'll come back to the Lord. You know, if you have a prodigal, then call them a prodigal. Stop pretending they're not. And by the way, I love her as much as I love my other two daughters. There's no difference in the way that I love her. But you can either give your mom and dad the greatest joy in all the world, or you can give them the greatest sorrow. And that's in your hands, kids. That's in your hands. And I said, God's been so good to me and my wife. And I mean this, folks. We don't complain. Good night. God's been so good to us. But everybody's got that one thing. Don't you? Everybody? One or two or three things that you just carry. Don't be that, and don't do that to your mom and dad. You young men listening, you young ladies listening to me, don't you do that. The most hurtful thing you could do to your parents is to be raised godly and then choose to live an ungodly life. Okay, that is the absolute worst and most hurtful thing that you could possibly do. Don't do that. Don't do it. Let's bow our heads. We're talking about honoring our parents. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you would, Lord, that you would take this message and help our young people, not just the teenagers that are in the auditorium, but Lord, also that you would you'd help every single person in here that has a mom and a dad, everyone. I pray, Lord, that you would help those that are struggling in their relationship with their parents. Lord, that you would help them, dear God, to maybe stop looking at and constantly talking about their flaws. And maybe they could start learning from their strengths. I pray for those that have had, that have broken relationships. Dear God, that somehow, dear God, you would heal and mend those relationships. Lord, thank you for the book of Proverbs. And Lord, thank you for the command to honor our father and our mother. Honor them. And Lord, thank you for the promise that's attached. Lord, I pray, dear God, maybe in the balance of this month, got about half of it left, that this message will take root and find place, and there would be some reaching out, maybe a little more time taken, maybe some questions asked that need to be asked, maybe some ears that listen to the answers. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless, dear God. Pray these things in Jesus' name.